the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter number 19. I've always believed that we clear out a little place and then the Lord comes down in it. I've always believed that. It's like we're in the jungle, turn me up a little bit, Brother Mike, in Vietnam, and it's real thick, and the Lord says, I can't live in that. And we take machetes and clear out a place like that right there, and then He comes down. I've always believed that. I believe that when God's people clear out a place for Him, He'll come down. And I don't really know how to explain that, and I don't know if I've ever heard another preacher say that, but I've always thought it. Look at Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10, and you'll get the thought of what I want to say. Exodus 19 and verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. That's Monday and Tuesday. And let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. That'd be Wednesday, or we'll start Wednesday and go Thursday, Friday. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. I want to preach tonight on how to be ready for our youth rally. The Lord told Moses, He said, you get them sanctified. Sanctified simply means this. Here's what sanctified means. I'm going to sanctify this microphone. Watch. Nobody can't touch this. Nobody can't use it. Nobody can't play with it, kids. Nobody can touch it. It's just for my personal use. That microphone is now sanctified, set apart for my use. See that? That microphone has been set apart for me. Now, sanctification, that's all sanctification is. Somebody said, well, I went to a Pentecostal church and I went and got sanctified. Sanctified does not mean that you roll around the floor and slobber and spit and scream and holler. If you want to do that, I don't care. But that doesn't mean, that's not what sanctification means. Sanctification means set it apart for His use. Nobody else can't touch it. Nobody else can't have it. It's mine. Now, we need to let the Lord do that to us. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you sanctified? Are you set apart for the Lord's work? Come on. Good night. I mean, that's what we need to be. He said, sanctify yourselves, for in the third day, the Lord will come down among you. And I believe that. I believe you've heard people say God ain't going to bless a dirty vessel and all this kind of stuff. And there's certain truths to that and certain untruths to that. But the truth is tonight, God will bless those that seek Him and honor Him and believe in Him and make a place for Him in their heart and in their life. So what I want to do is I'm going to sanctify myself. I've been trying to do this, and I'm going to ask you to sanctify yourself this week. Three things, right quick. It's going to be very short. Please give me your attention. And the way to sanctify yourself and be ready to meet the Lord at the youth rally is, number one, live right. Number one, live right. Just an old-fashioned thought, a message about living right. Listen, folks, right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. Amen? I mean, if I do wrong, it's still wrong. If you do wrong, it's still wrong. We're saved by grace, thank God, hallelujah. Our sins are all paid for, past, present, and future, glory to God, hallelujah. But right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. And God don't want us to do wrong, and God is pleased with us when we do right. There is a verse of Scripture that said, well, He hears us when we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So it does make a difference how we live. Somebody said, well, we're saved by grace. It don't matter how. It sure does. It matters how you live. It matters what you do with your time. God is in charge of your life and blessing you, your marriage, your home, your kids, your finances, your health, and it does matter how you live. Amen. It does matter how you live. We ought to live right. We ought to please God in our personal life, in our private life, and the way we do. I hope you're fasting. I hope you're doing without food on your appointed day. This would be a great week. This would be a great week to turn the TV off. Be a great week. If you want to do it, Lord touches you, do it. I'm not telling you you have to. It ain't my place to do that. But, excuse me, it would be a great week to do that. Just have a TV fast. And just say, Lord, we was talking about it up here the other night at prayer meeting. Do you know that you don't realize how bad the world is till you don't see it for a while? You turn your TV off for a week and then turn it back on, everything looks great. You think, Lord in mercy, do they cuss that much on there? Do they talk that bad? Are they that wicked? You just haven't been used to it. It's the same way when we go to camp. Every year when we go to camp, you're away from the world for 1 week. And as soon as we leave camp, we'll stop at McDonald's, and they come running in there just dressed every old way. You think, oh my goodness, these people are full of the devil. You know, but you don't even pay no attention to it before you go to camp. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about when we go to camp, you know? And it's like you see it and see it and see it and see it to where it has no bearing on you. You get away from it for a while and then see it, you think, Lord, have mercy, how wicked this world is. And that's what we need to do this week, is sanctify ourselves. You say, well, Brother Danny, we still got to live in this world. Yes, we do. You still got to go back to school. I mean, I'm not out of touch with reality. I know we got to see it. I know we got to deal with it. We got to be in it. But I'll tell you one thing. There ain't a thing in the world wrong with us trying to pull back and sanctify ourselves and live just as clean as we possibly. There ain't a thing in the world wrong with that. Amen. As long as you don't get self-righteous and proud and judge each other, there ain't a thing in the world wrong with that at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to live right. Amen. People will want to come to church with you if they see a difference in your life. People want to come to church with you if they see a difference in your life. You ain't going to get nobody to come to church with you if you're out there sinning with them. If you're partying with them and you say, you want to go to church? I ain't going to church with you. It ain't doing you no good. They don't care. But if you'll do right and stand right, people say, I don't know what it is at your church, but it must be something good. Amen. I want to tell you something this evening. Let me just move on here just a second. You know what our problem is here in America? Our problem in America is we are absolutely blessed so much and have so many blessings that we don't appreciate one thing God has done for us. I know Christian ladies who sit at home and think, poor little me, I'm so pitiful. I don't get to run around and have all kinds of boyfriends like the other girls do. And I don't get to party and go to the Bahamas with the other. And I know Christian men who sit around and say, oh man, look at that wife I'm stuck with. And look at the job I got to do every day and all that. Let me tell you something. You know what they've done to Christians a few generations ago? You know what they've done to Christians that just like me and you not too many years ago? I'm going to read you off some things. They had their skin flayed off their head, their faces, and body. Like you'd scrape a fish. Their skin flayed off of their body. They were fried alive in boiled pans of grease. They had their mouth slit back to their ears. They would take knives and cut them here all the way back to their ears. They crucified them upside down. They put them in boiling oil and boiled them. They had their arms cut off. They just cut their arms off and leave them laying there to bleed to death and die. They slowly burned them. They'd tie them up and burn them slow with green wood. Just burn their feet and lay them there for hours, hanging there, screaming with their feet burning. And then come up their ankles and up their legs and a little bit and just burn them. It'd take hours sometime for them to die till they finally just exhausted and the water would just ooze out of their flesh where their flesh would burn and burn them to death slowly. They had their ears bored out. They would put sticks and bore into their ears and literally bore through their heads with sticks and burn them. They had their tongues cut out. They literally grabbed a hold of their tongue with a tool and pull it out and cut it with a knife. Amen. Now, you got an air-conditioned house and a nice car and all that, and it's just too much trouble for you to come to church regular, and you don't understand how come you can't go get high and party with all the girls. You little brats, you! They pull their tongues out. They cut their mouths open. And we, you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be shouting, thanking God we get 3 meals a day and got a house to live in and an air-conditioned car. Brother, God's been good to us. We ought to appreciate what the Lord's done for us. Amen. They throwed them to dogs and let dogs eat them. They smothered them with canvases. They had their hearts pulled out of their bodies. They had their hearts pulled out. Their flesh was torn by wild animals. Their women had their belly. They tied pregnant women down and ripped their bellies open and let the pigs eat the live baby out of their bodies. And we say, but we're so, I don't get to do anything. I'm pitiful. Go to church. Yes, go to church. You ought to thank God you can walk in them doors back there. You ought to thank God you can go to... Some of you always saying, oh no, it's youth rally. He preaches on... But listen, buddy, there's people in this world, there's people in the United States that would give anything they had just to be a part of our youth rally. We hear, they write us an email and say, oh, I'd love to come to that. It's the most exciting thing in the world. They love it. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to live right. They were torn in pieces by horses. Tied on this horse this way, tied their feet to another, and let the horse just jerk them apart. That's your brothers and sisters you're going to live with in heaven one day. Ought to live right. Number two, well, look right. Well, look right. Amen? I want to say something tonight. The clothes you wear affect you. They affect you mentally. They make you think and feel a certain way. Amen? They really do. As a matter of fact, I feel different when I put on a suit. I do. I really do. I do not wear a suit all the time. Don't believe you have to wear a suit all the time. I don't wear a suit when I mow my grass. I don't wear a suit when I go grocery shopping or whatever. I don't. But listen, I'm on business. When I come to church, I'm on business for the King. I'm to look my best. You know what I love this morning? It was Easter Sunday morning, and we had an unusual amount of our men wore ties. I thought, glory to God, that look. It made me feel like we were more of a church and more of a preacher. I mean, you know, the Bible don't say that, and I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I'm telling you, we ought to look right. Amen? I'm amazed at how people come looking at church nowadays. I'm just amazed. It astounds me. I mean, Lord have mercy. And I'm not one of these people that, you know, one of these preachers that harps on stuff like that all the time. But ladies and gentlemen, I mean, the youth, just because we're having the youth rally at the fairground, it don't mean it's not a carnival. It's not a carnival. I can't get this people bringing drinks to church and putting them in the pew and every few minutes take them a big swig of Mountain Dew and stuff. Lord, this ain't the movies. This is not a theater. There's only one person in here that's supposed to drink while he's preaching, and I don't mean drink. That's what, if the preacher needs it, because I'm up here screaming and holler. And it's not a place to spread out all the candy bars so your kids can just eat. I mean, this ain't a restaurant, and it's not the movie theater, and the fairgrounds is the same thing. I was over there the other night, one of them broke in. And I got there the other night, truly, they couldn't let me in, so I broke in. I mean, the ox is in the ditch, and I pulled him out. But anyway, I went in there, and there was beer cans laying around in there, and they'd been Mexican gangs or something. There was graffiti wrote on the walls, you know, and everything. And I thought, ooh, boy, you could feel like a devil had been in that place. But I'm going to tell you something. The very second we walk in that place, the very second, brother, we set that pulpit up there and hit that note on that piano, that place becomes the house of God. The church of the living God is meeting in that old metal building. Brother, the church ain't the building anyway. It's the people. And it turns into a church. The moment we meet there to serve the Lord and worship Him, it turns into a church. And I'm telling you something, brother. If you was going to see old Willie and what's her name get married this week, you wouldn't just slouch in there with an old t-shirt and a pair of old nasty pants on or some kind of shorts or something like that. Brother, you'd say, this is important. I'm going to see the King's son get married. I'm going, and brother, that's the way we ought to take the house of God. Look our best. Dress our best. Ladies wear dresses. Men wear pants. Get in there and serve God and be a blessing. Do what God wants us to do. We ought to look right. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly tonight. Do you know as well as I know? You know as well as I know that one girl immodestly dressed in the choir ruins the whole choir. You know it. You know it. Don't act dumb. Amen. So you and that's your parents' job. Make sure these kids look right, act right, dress right, look right. I'm not all about that. I'm not saying that makes you holy. But I'll tell you one thing. You do feel different when you dress right. It's a certain atmosphere you create. Amen? Lord, I remember when I first got saved. I remember when I first got saved, I wore a see-through football jersey to church. Net. You can see that. And I knew that wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. I was just mean as a snake. And I ain't been saved but a few months, and my preacher never said a word, but I know he wanted to kill me. And I remember when I started preaching, I remember I went to town, and I went up there to Roses in Marion. I had never bought a shirt and tie in my life. Never even owned one except what we had to wear in high school for basketball. So they made us wear a shirt and tie in basketball when I was in high school. Made us. That's how far we've come. There's, the public school had more standards back then than a lot of Christian schools do now. And I went and bought me a tie at Roses. And, buddy, I wore that tie to church. And I stood up there. And the pastor's wife, I'll never forget it, Miss Hollifield, Ruth Hollifield, she come over to me, put her arm around me, and she said, "Oh, Danny, you look so handsome. You look so nice." And I thought, glory to God. She's about 80 years old. And I thought, amen, that was a blessing. It made me, she don't know how those words encourage me. And I thought, yes, sir, buddy, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to look like a preacher. If I'm going to be a preacher, I'm going to act like a preacher. If I want to be a man of God, I want to portray myself as a man of God. And I'm going to tell you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, if we want God to bless us, well, look right. You know what? Let me just show you something here in the Bible. Please, y'all, I do not have anybody in mind when I say this. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Okay? If you think I'm talking to you, you're listening to the devil, because I'm not. I don't know who in here, I don't know, and I don't care. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. I'm going to show you something. This is a verse talking about, people ask me about tattoos. And this is one reason why you shouldn't have tattoos. Leviticus chapter number 19. If you young people in here tonight, you say, "Well, I think it's cool and I want to get one." Let me show you what God told His people back here in the book of Leviticus chapter number 19. You don't want to mark up your body like that, something that you can never, ever, ever change. You can't change it unless you're rich. You can't get it off unless you've got a lot of money. Let me show you what the Bible said. You know good and well that that's not pleasing to God. Leviticus chapter 19, and look at verse number. Look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Leviticus 19, 28. "You shall not make any cuttings," that's about cutting yourself, "in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." That's not the only place. Through the Bible, God said, don't make mark. A mark is a bad sign. A mark. There's going to be the mark of the beast during the tribulation. And that's why I get. And look, girls, most of y'all are ugly enough as it is. You sure don't want to look no trampier than you already are, ugly than you already are. And I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, and don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to help some of you young people to look right. We ought to look right. I know preachers right now that have to pull their collar up right now because they're embarrassed about all the wicked tattoos and stuff they got. Heard about this one old boy. He had, this is a true story. One old boy, he got saved. He had a bunch of tattoos on him, and they was wicked, buddy. I mean, he had naked women on his arms like this. And he got saved, and he couldn't wear a long-sleeve shirt all the time. They was all going out to give out tracts. And he went, and they all went to give out tracts, and he said, "Look here, preacher, look here." What? And that old boy went and had clothes tattooed on them women. I guess that's all right, ain't it? He tattooed dresses on them and tops and everything. and tattooed underwear on them and tattooed. He had them tattooed up. I guess it's all right. I don't know. That's the truth. That's the truth. but I guess if you can't get them off, you ought to put more on there and cover them up. I don't know. But anyway, that's what God said about it. Now let me show you something else. Exodus chapter 21. Listen, I don't trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. You start piercing up your body and sticking holes in your body, you're being led by the wrong spirit. Especially if you're a man. Especially if you're a man. When I went to school, if a boy had come to school with his ear, an earring in his ear, they would have beat him half to death before the day was over. He'd have been sent to the girls' class. I ain't trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. If you think I'm talking about you, you're listening to the devil. I'm not. I'm just telling you that we've come a long way from what things used to be in this country. Look what Leviticus chapter 21 said. It's a sign of a slave. for a man to have his ear bored through. Leviticus chapter 21. Look at Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 6. Leviticus chapter 21. Exodus 21, 6. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 6. Look here what he said. He said here in the Bible, when they become a slave, then his master, if a man don't want to leave his master and be a slave forever, if he wants to be a slave, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall bring him to the door, under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. It's a sign of slavery. It's a mark of slavery in the Bible. Not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to say you're full of the devil or nothing like that. I'm just saying, let's get it right. Let's get it right. Amen? I'm telling you, we ought to look right. We ought to live right. Number three, we ought to love right. We ought to love right. We ought to love the Lord. We ought to let everybody do your job. Everybody be happy to do your job. And don't fuss if nobody helps you. I've noticed in church that everybody gets mad because nobody helps their ministry. The bus people say, we need more workers in the bus ministry. The ones that are in the nursery say, we need more help in the nursery. We need more help in the nursery. The ones that are cutting weeds out here said, nobody will help us. Everybody thinks. And here's what you do. You just say, I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to do my job the best I can do it. You're not going to be like Mary and Martha. What did Mary and Martha said? Lord, bid her that she help me. I mean, I'm having to do all this by myself, poor little me. You just do your job for God and don't worry about nobody else. And let the chips fall where they will. Amen? Everybody's not going to have the same burden you have. Everybody's not going to have the same feelings you have. Everybody's not going to have the same ministry you've got. Everybody can't cook. Everybody can't mow grass. Everybody can't set up chairs. Everybody can't sing the choir. Everybody can't give money. We all just do what we can, and then it all gets done. And then you love each other. Some of this stuff I preached on here tonight, don't y'all start judging each other and say, well, I'm better than you and I'm worth you. And you ain't. That, you're full of the devil. You're full of the devil if you do that. I've seen people that wasn't dressed right. That's closer to God than some of these people. Got dresses down to there, no makeup, and no jewelry or nothing. Full of the pure devil. I've seen them, buddy. I know them. That, just because you dress a certain way don't make you right. But if you are right, you ought to look right. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I'm trying to help us be balanced tonight. I know churches where they think as long as everybody dressed a certain way, we're all right with God. Not necessarily. Some of them people meaner than a snake. Love the people. Don't get aggravated at the kids. Other day I mentioned Brother Ronnie, the bus man, trying to get all these kids up here. Some of y'all probably said, thank God they're not coming. Because they are the worst group. And I mean, there's 75 of them, and they are wild, and they knock chairs over and have fights. And I mean, they're rough. But that ain't no way for us to be, is it? The Lord loves them kids. And we ought to care about them kids, buddy, and love them just as much as it would be one of our own. Amen? What a love, right? What a love, right? We ought to love the Lord. We ought to love the people. We ought to love the program. I'm excited. Excited at youth rally. One of my girls, I think it's Corey, sent me a text the other day. She's getting excited. Carrie sent me one the other day. I'm excited. Somebody else said, only a week, Brother Danny. I like it when people start saying, I'm excited. I love the program. You know what the youth rally is? It's like a tornado. You forecast it and forecast it and forecast it and forecast it, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. Them 3 days will be gone just like that. Don't let it pass you up. Don't get mad at somebody and get in the flesh. I've seen people get aggravated. We had a group come one time and got mad during the boxing and left. Left! You ain't going to convince me that God told them to leave. That's the devil. And don't you think that the kids is the only one the devil can get in. He gets in me and you. Son, he got in me at the youth rally. I ain't going to lie. I've been fasting. Can't even hardly stand up. I'm so tired and wore out and trying to do the messages and trying to get the skits and trying to get everything. I can get the devil in me real quick. If you see him in me, run up and get a hold of me and lay hands on me and cast him out. You've got my permission. Do it. Amen. Because he can do it. The devil can get in all of it, any of us. He sure can. I ain't going to stand up here and say the devil can't get it. He can too, buddy. He can. He got Peter. He sure did. He can get in me and you. He can get in you husbands and wives. He can get in you real quick. Just make sure you don't let him do it. That's how to be ready for Youth Rally. Let's bow our heads for prayer.